Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Baron Marcus in here with me for another three-hour tour. Big show lined up this afternoon. What you talking about? Champions League round two. Coming up here in hour number three of the show this afternoon. Who will join three-time defending champion Matty Ice in the championship round on Thursday? Matt, Nick, and Brent.
Yep.
Will vie for what you talk about supremacy this afternoon. Looking forward to it.
I kind of like Will's Rocky Balboa-esque storyline. Hopefully he'll, you know, be able to take down Matty Ice.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we still don't have really a resolution. I'm just hoping that John or Jason, like, nothing against Will. I'm just, like, from a just purely logistics standpoint, it would be really nice if John or Jason won and we don't have to have the conversation we had yesterday about when we play Thursday and that whole thing. It would just make our lives a lot easier, I feel like.
It probably would, but with that being said, I don't want, you know. And the guy threw a 16 in a prelim. What's he capable of in a championship setting?
It's a good question. It's a good question. The game has gotten a little bit tougher, as we saw yesterday. Some of the scores were a little bit low until Matty Ice dusted it off and left no doubt in the playoff. I mean, it went to a sudden death playoff. That happened, I think, once. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. We haven't had that many ties this year.
I mean, you get to Champions League and it's the best of the best. You got to be ready for anything. So, we got our buddy Blake Topmeyer coming up here in just a few minutes to talk college football with us. Big news out of the Big Ten today. Looks like they are getting close to announcing a new TV deal. And the Big Ten, which has had games, they've had a relationship with ABC and Disney since the 60s, have decided, evidently, they are going to be leaving ABC/ESPN and casting their lot with a conglomeration, it sounds like, of CBS, Fox, and maybe even NBC. So very interesting stuff there. I'm sure that will drive up the bidding war. And I'm sure they're going to do the right thing and cut all the student athletes in on the immense TV profits that are going to be generated through their hard labor. What, no?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't think that's going to happen.
Not until they're forced to, anyway.
I mean, everything that's haywire right now with college football didn't have to happen if they had just cut them in 15 or 20 years ago when the big money started rolling in.
We'll get Blake's thoughts on this coming up here in just a minute, but we had our first scrimmage today, Bear. Scrimmage? You want some scrimmage notes? You want
Please.
Some notes from the scrimmage? Some nugs?
Yeah.
Let's get the Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee going through its first major scrimmage of the preseason earlier today at Neyland Stadium on a gorgeous Tuesday morning here in Knoxville. And I guess the most significant note is no major injuries reported. So that's good for a team that's already a little banged up. You know what's going on with Haddon. Brew McCoy wasn't out there today. Jerome Carvin has an ankle thing. What's going on with Christian Charles? Like, there's all these little bumps that are accumulating. It seemed like a lot for the first week of practice. And so far, we're not hearing anything about any major injuries coming out of the scrimmage today. As far as guys who stood out, I'm told Jabari Small ran really well. As a matter of fact, Josh Heupel was openly effusive in his praise for junior running back in his post-scrimmage comments earlier today. It sounds like he's healthy, and, I mean, that's, again, get back to the whole injury angle. Jabari Small, very effective when healthy last year, but was only healthy 50, 60% of the time.
Everything I saw, you know, I listened to or didn't listen, read all the Heupel's quotes from his presser, but I mean, it sounds like you were saying, Jabari Small. I heard that, is it JWT? JTW?
Yeah.
Played well.
Well, I actually heard Dylan Sampson. That was going to be my next point, is that Dylan Sampson, I don't know if you guys saw Instagram, UT's Instagram account posted some highlights, and he had a nice touchdown. It looked like it might have been off a swing pass, and Denico Slaughter tried to bump him out right at the goal line, but he ended up getting in. And just, I mean, reading the tea leaves here, it seems like Sampson, who was kind of, it looked like Justin Williams-Thomas was, you know, he's the four-star back. Dylan Sampson was like the little scat back they took a flyer on so far, and we'll see how the reps divvy up when we get into games. But to me, it seems like Dylan Sampson might be, you know, with
got to have him on the field somewhere kind of guy.
Well, with Jalen Wright banged up right now,
mm-hmm.
and Lynn J. Dixon still learning the system, trying to get up to speed, kind of sound like Dylan Sampson might be the backup to Jabari Small right now.
I would have no problem with that.
I don't think it's necessarily Justin Williams-Thomas is a bust or anything like that. It's very early, and we'll see how all this shakes out, but it seems like they might have discovered the proverbial diamond in the rough with Dylan Sampson. Kid's got speed. Jeremy Banks had a big interception today. There was the Instagram account had footage of that, too. It was a nice play, man. Very athletic. Have you seen it?
No. Huh?
He's basically running to his left. Hooker's throwing a flat route, and Banks just jumps, and it's like
– he just jumped it?
Yeah. Literally jumped it. Like, the leap he took to get – it's like how are human beings this athletic? I don't know – it almost looked like CGI or something.
Was he a four-star when we got him?
I think according to one of the services.
I'm assuming, but then he was a four-star. If one of the services said he was.
I mean, I think he's a four-star talent. I think he's going to have a huge year this year. Second year in the system, got his head screwed on right and everything. He's a baller. Like, this is his senior year. It's time to go. He could be playing in the National Football League next year.
He's got a lot to play for this year. He does.
I think he's going to be outstanding. And then not a lot of other defensive notes. Just Josh Heupel, such an offensive guy. Just like, I think Banks was the only defensive player he mentioned by name today.
I wonder if he – no, I'm not even going to go there.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know, man. I just think he's an offensive coach, you know. Like, Pruitt was a defensive coach, so he was always talking about from the defensive perspective, and Pruitt's an offensive guy. I mean, defense is going to have to be a priority for him at some point. He's not going to get where he wants to go without paying as much attention to the defense ultimately as he does the offense.
Did you see the big D commitment?
Yep, that was going to be my final note of your Rocky Top report here this afternoon. Phoenix City, Alabama, top 247 defensive lineman, four-star Tamarian Parker has decommitted from Penn State. His dad tells 247 that Florida and Tennessee are the schools he's looking at the most, with maybe Georgia in there a little bit. So Rodney Garner stayed in touch with this guy. He was at one point thought to be a Tennessee lean over the summer, ends up committing to Penn State. Looks like he's backed off that today. So my takeaway is that I don't know if we're going to get him or not, but it's just it plays into this recruiting roller coaster emotional mentality that not just Tennessee fans, but I think a lot of football fans have adopted, especially with NIL and the transfer portal now. It's just like we're either killing it in recruiting or falling woefully behind, and there is no middle ground.
Agreed.
And I just feel like that's the complete wrong way to approach this. You're dealing with high school kids. It's a long game. Signing day is the third Wednesday in December. It's a long time away. And I look at I try and take a step back, take off the emotional orange and white colored glasses and analyze how is recruiting going right now for Josh Heupel. And when you consider 7-6, NCAA investigation, scholarship reductions, recruiting restrictions self-imposed, everybody else is killing you. The rest of the vultures in this league, you don't want to go to Tennessee. They're getting set to go on probation, bowl ban, all the nonsense that these kids are being told.
Mm-hmm.
Go on. I haven't checked the rankings today, but I'm assuming a top 12 class in, according to Rivals 247 on three, top 15 at the very worst, doing pretty well. Couple of guys still out there. There are names. Remember, this time last year, we didn't even know that James Pierce or Joshua Joseph or some of these guys, we didn't even know who Brew McCoy was this time last year.
Yeah, I mean, with the transfer portal as well, I mean, it's kind of a year-round thing now.
So I just look at it like, is recruiting going Saban-esque? Are we killing it like Kirby right now? No. But would you expect – I mean, you're talking about the two teams that were playing for a national championship last year and putting all the guys in the pros right now. Are they just floundering out there in the weeds, not getting any players? Is it a desperate situation? No. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It could be better. It needs to be better. You got to put your nose to the grindstone and finish strong if you're Josh Heupel in recruiting right now. But I kind of like what they're getting done with this class. I mean, you got to love, first of all, Nico. You get your five-star quarterback for an offensive-driven system. I mean, that's where it starts. That's your star player. You got Chandavian Bradley. Ethan Davis, I think, is a big-time player. The Herring kid out of Murfreesboro. I like the corner they got from Kentucky, Christian Conyer. And we talked about yesterday, all the crystal bars are flipping towards Tennessee for the kid whose name escapes me out of Alabama, the corner down there. It seems like they're going to get him. So I just think it's going well right now. Is it going excellent? No. Scale of 5 to 4, how's recruiting going? I give it a 4, all considering everything that they're up against right now.
I do as well. And before you can get it to where it's unbelievable, we got to get some big wins on the field.
Classic.
Or you're not – there's just a certain level of that upper tier that we need to get back to that we used to – it's where we lived in the late 80s and 90s. Until we get back to that level of recruiting, it's kind of hard. But
class is ranked number 10 in the country right now on Rivals, number 11 in the country on 247. We'll lean towards Rivals for today anyway. Also, basketball-wise, Tennessee has released its full non-conference schedule today, highlighted by matchups against Arizona, Texas, Maryland, Butler, and Colorado. Vols will open the season against Tennessee Tech on November 7th. I guess that's, 3 months away?
89 days.
Wow, 3 months we'll be talking Tennessee basketball. Man, time flies. Colorado neutral site game will be game 2 against the Buffs in Bridgestone on November 13th. Florida Gulf Coast coming to Knoxville. Dunk City in the house on the 16th. That'll be fun. Tennessee will host McNeese State, Alcorn State, Eastern Kentucky, and Austin Peay the first 3 weeks of December. So a little bit of, I guess we'll call that the cupcake tour during final exams, that kind of time.
What's the toughest game in that stretch?
I don't know.
I mean, Gulf Coast, they just blipped that 1 year, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about like the entire, everything I just listed?
Yeah.
I thought you were just talking about the McNeese State, Alcorn State, Eastern Kentucky, Austin Peay stretch. I mean, the toughest
out of conference before Christmas game.
The toughest game there is going to be Colorado, I would imagine. And before Christmas, you've got Maryland in New York on December 11th. You've got Arizona on the road December 17th. You host Texas in late January in the Big 12 Challenge. And then, of course, you got the battle for Atlantis that we talked about last week. Tennessee will be playing Butler on November 23rd in the Bahamas. And then on the opposite side of the bracket, you got Kansas, NC State. So, I mean, there'll be some big games down there in Atlantis as well.
Do you see the basketball video from the weekend?
The weightlifting Twitter? Thing?
No. The trip to the water park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty good. Our guy, Coach Ganey, was yelling at Jonas Adu.
Somebody sent me. And I hesitate to even bring this up.
I think I know what you're about to do, but I'm
going to. The tip thing?
Oh, no, I don't know.
What did you think I was going to say?
So, I was catching up on.
I'm completely lost.
Three and out on my shift last night.
Okay.
And Hickman brought up the point that Billy Stats was comparing the fact that Auburn played Israel's national team while Tennessee's at a water park.
It's like, well, you can't go on one of those trips every year. I'm sure the next available opportunity, Barnes will
honestly,
take.
Honestly, Houston brought up a good point, though.
Yeah.
You can get burnt out pretty quick. So
you can also get sunburned.
Yeah.
Not basketball experts on three and out. If you're looking for expertise from those guys, look elsewhere, my friend. What I was going to bring up, obviously this has not gone viral because you two haven't heard of it, but somebody sent me a screenshot from, I think it might have been Facebook, and it was the mother of somebody who worked at a restaurant near, is it Soquy Mountain, the place they went?
Yeah.
And apparently a bunch of the basketball players and staff or something went to this Soquy Mountain restaurant to eat.
Right.
And they had these vouchers. And apparently they left with either without tipping or with like not much of a tip for like a bunch of dudes eating together.
Oh no.
And the server's parent was doing a dear Facebook thing about this. And
oh no, I didn't see that. And I would like to think that somewhere the lines of communication got muddled.
Well, young people don't understand. I mean, you know about young basketball players. A lot of these guys haven't had real jobs, don't understand the service industry and stuff like that.
I would imagine that
if this makes it back to Rick Barnes, or not even Rick Barnes, like anybody over there at UT, which I'm sure it has, that efforts will be made to make this right.
Yeah, they'll make sure that the young lady is whole financially from it. The other thing that I will speak up for them is that, you know, they're really used to, like you were talking about, AAU and all stuff. Kids like this, they walk into a restaurant, they sit down to eat, they get up, they walk back out to the bus.
Somebody else
takes care
of the bill.
Somebody else takes care of all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't think it was like our basketball players trying to screw it, like get something for free or something. It's,
oh, man, you say what you want. I mean, they may not make it out of the first weekend sometimes in the tournament, but Barnes's kids are all – those are all really good.
And it could be – and it's really a teachable moment, too. It's like, look, guys,
you're going to be professionals.
Yeah, you have to –
whether
you can't be Tiger
NBA
Woods in this thing, man.
In regular life or over in Europe.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Take the stress off your shoulders by entrusting all your real estate needs to Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Call today for a free consultation, 865-742-1035. Tell them I sent you. Bo Kregner, 742-1035. Get it listed, get it sold, and move on. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. It's real estate the right way. Check out the new website, Team KG. realestate.com. No, it's not Kevin Garnett. It's Kregner Group. Team KG, realestate.com. Blake Topmeyer of the News Sentinel. Coming up next, we'll talk college football with Blake. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear and Marcus cruising along with you here on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in East Tennessee. And we're pleased to be joined right now by Blake Topmeyer, SEC columnist for the USA Today Network and your Knoxville News Sentinel. Good afternoon, Blake. How are you, sir?
Doing well, you guys?
Hey, man, we're doing well. Just counting down the days to a little college football. And I guess the big news coming out of the North today with the Big Ten seems like they are close to another landmark television deal. And I hear a lot of folks in the media pontificating about what this is going to mean for college football, how the SEC is going to respond. Blake, what's your take on where the Big Ten seems to be headed in terms of bringing in CBS and NBC and leaving ESPN? They've been with ABC and, I guess, the Disney company since the 1960s.
Yeah, I think my initial reaction is you're going to have a lot of college football fans who maybe don't follow this type of stuff as closely as we do, flipping on the TV in weeks one and two, wondering where's the games that they're looking for. You know, as someone who's worked in newspapers for over a decade now, I know you still have folks call up their local newsroom and want to know what channel the games are on. And it's just going to be a little bit different. It's going to be weird, frankly, that, you know, as it seems, you're going to have Big Ten on CBS. And as we know, there's going to be no SEC on CBS. And it's like, you know, all the tradition in college sports is kind of an endangered species at this point, and tradition ranks behind the almighty dollar. And from a business perspective, I certainly get that. But, you know, for me and for so many others, I think, you know, not having like a Big Ten game of the week, say on ABC, your primetime game on ABC, and not having your CBS SEC game at 3:30 Eastern on a Saturday afternoon. It's all going to be very, very different as, you know, kind of the merry-go-round of conferences and media rights continue.
I think it's interesting, Blake, that the Big Ten, they're going to have a lot of different outlets to see their games now. They're going to be on Fox. They're going to be a CBS, NBC. Won't be on ABC and ESPN, but the SEC seems to be going all in, right? I mean, the ESPN, they helped them put together the SEC network, and CBS has been their partner for so long, and that iconic 3:30 CBS intro game music that fans, everybody loves, is, I don't know, maybe it'll go to the Big Ten now, but do you think that's wise of Greg Sankey and the SEC to be putting all their eggs in Disney's basket, while it seems like the Big Ten is going the opposite route and trying to bring as many partners into their media rights agreement as they possibly can?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think ESPN's been a really strong partner for the SEC for many years now, particularly with the launch of the SEC network. I mean, I think having ESPN/Disney in the SEC's corner with the rollout of that network really, really helps the SEC. And I think through and through, I feel like that's been a good partnership. You know, could you make more money divvying it up? I don't know. I'm sure that's, you know, something that can be debated. Maybe you could. I mean, in the Big Ten perhaps is proving that. But I also think there's some value in simply being on ESPN. And I know, you know, depending on your preferences or whatever, some people like ESPN, some people don't, would rather watch something on another network. But ESPN is still the behemoth, and I still think that it helps you sort of be at the forefront of the conversation to have such a big presence on ESPN. And I do think that, money aside, it can work against you, at least in a small way, of having no presence on ESPN, which is, you know, the route that the Big Ten is now going. Now, you know, ultimately, is this a bad move for the Big Ten? No, I'm not saying that. But I do think if you are going to have to put all your eggs into one basket, I mean, it probably should be the ESPN basket. Now, whether they should divvy that up or not, like I said, I think you could have a good debate there. But I do think that ESPN and the SEC have really enjoyed a strong mutual partnership.
You know, we have this conversation about networks and stuff like that, and you know, the streaming aspect of all this is interesting too, Blake, right? Because I think that, you know, you mentioned the old timers calling the newsroom asking what time and what channel the game's going to be on. ESPN has really done a good job. You pull up ESPN Plus, and I mean, it's pretty easy to navigate as far as that. Fox, and I mean, heck, I don't even know where you go to stream CBS. I mean, that they're going to have some catching up to do with that. Is the whole I know the Big Ten is going to go to the highest bidder, but is the whole network TV thing, is that maybe a little bit overrated as we move more and more towards streaming services?
Yeah, I think certainly probably 10 years from now it'll be overrated. I think there's probably still some strong value in that now. I'll just give you an example. I was at a Big Orange Caravan event in Chattanooga in the spring, and you know, there's a question and answer portion of that time, and there was a fan in the crowd that asked a UT administrator on stage. I actually am blanking at this time who it was, but it doesn't matter. The question was, how do we get more UT baseball and softball games on TV? And whoever the administrator was up there said, like, well, all of our baseball and softball games are televised. And the person asking the question was puzzled. They're like, no, they're not. But the, you know, the administrator was thinking with streaming in mind, like, to them, streaming is being on TV. But I still think there's a huge chunk of people out there that streaming is not the same as being on TV. And obviously, as the years go by, that will start to evolve. But you know, that was always one of the things, you know, for years, people talked about how CBS got such a great deal by having that 3:30 SEC game that really was probably worth more than what the SEC was getting off that. But I think one thing that was oftentimes overlooked was, for the SEC, I still think there was a ton of value beyond just the dollars that are going into your coffers. I think there was a lot of value to having a 3:30 game on CBS national television. And you know, regardless of whether you have 400 channels on your TV or not, you know, you're still, the CBS game was pretty special. So yeah, it's a number of different ways you can look at it. I do think you make a good point with streaming in terms of how ESPN makes it, just from a user perspective. It's pretty easy to access all their stuff if you have ESPN Plus. You know, if you're a Big Ten fan and you're going all in on the streaming, you know, you might have to hop between you know, Fox Sports is streaming, to over to Peacock if they get in on this, to then, like you said, wherever the heck CBS's streaming platform looks like. It just isn't maybe going to be quite as easy from a user experience if you go the streaming route and you're a Big Ten fan versus the SEC having everything, you know, under the one banner there.
Oh, it's the worst, Blake. Yeah, you're jumping between apps. You're scanning QR codes. You're entering six-digit codes. You're like, come on, just let me watch my game.
It's true, and I was actually texting with a buddy about this earlier because, as you guys, I think, know, I'm originally from the Midwest, and so in football season, I'm kind of like all SEC all the time because it's my job. But during college basketball season, I'm still, you know, likely to check out a bunch of Big Ten games because it's what I grew up with, right? It's usually pretty good basketball. And I was texting someone earlier, and I said, you know what, now I'm going to have a hard time. If I want to watch a Big Ten game, I'm going to have to figure out, like, what streaming platform is it on? Do I have a subscription to that? How do I get that queued up and the whole bit? So, again, you can have different debates over the dollars and cents of it. I think from a user experience, the SEC all being under one home is actually going to be pretty good for fans. The one caveat I would add is I do think fans are really going to miss that 3:30 CBS game because, I mean, you can't deny every fan base felt special when their game was selected for that 3:30 spot. And if you win a whole year without being on CBS, I think it happened one year when I was covering the Vols as a beat writer. I think they went a full season without getting that CBS game. And, oh, people were up in arms about it. They were so annoying. They're like, why wasn't CBS choosing them, you know? And so that's the one caveat I'd say. I think it's fine the SEC is all under the ESPN banner, but I think just from a specialness of the production and how much CBS makes that 3:30 game feel like the game of a college football Saturday, I think that's maybe the one part you might miss there.
Blake Topmeyer, USA Today, your news sentinel with us here this afternoon on The Drive. And Blake, switching gears a little bit, looking at some SEC teams. Alabama, number one in the coaches poll that came out yesterday. And I saw where Nick Saban over the weekend said, well, you know, last year was a little bit of a rebuilding year. They lost in a game or two, Alabama did last year. Still won the SEC title, ends up winning the national championship. I don't know, Blake, what do you think? Are the Tide going to bounce back after such a disappointing season last year?
I think they are, and actually, like, you know, that made a lot of headlines, what Saban said, but sometimes I'm not always on board with, you know, it's like we try to convey some sort of genius to everything Saban says, and I'm not all the way there on that one. But in this case, I do see the point that he was making. Like, by Alabama's standards, I do think like last year was a rebuilding year for them, from the sense of when you think about all they lost off that just historically great 2020 team. You know, coming into last season, they had to replace their starting quarterback, their starting running back, two of their top wide receivers, three of their starting offensive linemen, and their top cornerback. Like, really, there was a lot of new faces, talented faces, no doubt, as we learned from Bryce Young, and certainly Will Anderson had his star turn as well. But, you know, I do think I could see what he was saying. There were some uncertain areas of Alabama's roster, certainly through the first half of last season. This year, though, I mean, they're rebuilt. They're loaded. They brought, you know, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, a vaunted defense back. And then they added to that the marquee transfers like an Eli Ricks, Jermaine Burton, Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back from Georgia Tech. Like, I mean, I think this is one of Saban's best teams. And I, frankly, I was surprised of the 65 first-place votes in that USA Today coaches poll that Alabama only got 54. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Alabama should be the preseason number one team. I know some people, I think, in those preseason polls feel compelled to vote for the reigning national champion, and so you saw Georgia get 5 votes there. Ohio State got 6 votes, but I think it's no question Alabama is a preseason one, and that's not just because of the program's reputation under Saban. I think it's a loaded roster this year. Certainly can't use the rebuilding phrase for this.
Who do you think voted Texas number one after the Longhorns end up number 18 in the poll? They get one first place vote.
And maybe the same person that voted Vanderbilt to win the East at SEC Media Day. Maybe there's just one scoundrel out there that's somehow getting a vote and all this stuff, and they just keep voting wacky things. I don't know. Like, you know, is that a case of – I don't know how the coaches poll does it. I voted in the AP poll a few times, so I kind of know how they do it. I don't know how the technology behind the coaches poll works. Like, you know, could somebody have been, like, scrolling through on their phone there and just done an accidental click? And
fat thumbed it, yep.
Yeah, they got the Longhorns one. Or was it a team – you know, was it Saban? Does he have a vote this year? I mean, look, I don't know if Saban's got a vote, but you know, he knows he's playing Texas in week 2. And he's like, hey, we'll get the Horns a few extra points there. You know, I mean, I think a lot of these coaches do know that, hey, my name's on the ballot. You know, they don't want to make a complete mockery of the thing. But there are some coaches, I fully believe, that are like, how can I use my vote in this poll to my team's advantage? Now, there's probably a few different strategies of that. But I think one way to use your vote to your advantage is you just log a vote for everybody on your schedule. So, you know, if they happen to get in the top 25 and you beat them, looks better for your resume, right? So, yeah, I'm sure there's a number of different ways you can do that. But I'd like to think that was an accident or at the very least someone playing a joke on us all.
Well, Blake, this is Bear, but not to get all X-Files on you, but now that you mentioned that, I mean, what if that was, say, Texas A&M?
Could be.
Just to have Alabama go off roster on them.
Yeah, I wish I had the voting roster in front of me. It's got to be something, right? Like, surely no coach out there thinks that Texas comes into this season as a true preseason one. So it's like, I really don't care if someone voted for him, whatever. I mean, preseason polls are, I mean, they're nothing more than something for folks like you and I to spend the next 3 debating until there's actually something real to discuss. So I don't really care. I don't hold the preseason poll in such high esteem that I think someone can't make a mockery of the thing. That's fine if that's what they want to do. I just want to know why. Like, what was the reasoning behind this? What were they up to there? But I suspect we'll never know. You know, it's revealed that the end of year ballots, I believe the coaches, you know, do know that those ballots are going to be publicly revealed. However, their preseason ballots are kept private. So
that's a shame.
I guess somebody's taking this one to the grave.
Blake Dottmeyer with us. Last thing for you, Blake. We'll let you out here. Totally agree with you. I mean, this is virtually meaningless, the top 25 coaches poll that came out yesterday. That being said, however, always got to get your take on the Vols here. Tennessee not ranked. I guess they would be 28th if you extended through the other receiving votes category. You know, I look at a lot of preseason magazines and other polls, Blake, and I see Tennessee getting falling in there anywhere from I think as high as 18 or 17 in one poll to, you know, in the top 25. Maybe a little bit of disrespect towards Josh Heupel's squad, or in your opinion, is that respect just going to have to be earned on the field?
Well, I got a theory here, guys, and we'll see next week if this holds true. I predict Tennessee will be ranked in the AP poll, which comes out next week, which is obviously voted on by media members, despite being unranked here in the coaches' poll. Theory on that being, I think a lot of these preseason coaches' polls, I think, is largely more so based on what did you do last year. Okay. You know, I think that's one reason why you see Ole Miss in the top 25. I mean, to me, if you're projecting out this season, there's really no reason why Ole Miss should be ranked and Tennessee shouldn't. But if you're going off last year, you know, Ole Miss won 10 games last year. They made it to the Sugar Bowl. And I think for some people who vote in the coaches poll, last season lingers more in their mind. I think media members, who we spend 6 months doing this, right? We fill time in the offseason projecting forward, making our predictions, making picks. I mean, stuff that coaches don't care about. They're not spending time doing. This is what we do. And so I think that's going to result in Tennessee being ranked in that AP poll, whereas they weren't in the coaches. So I don't, you know, some people might say, like, it's disrespect for the Vols. I really don't think it was probably that calculated of an effort. I think it was probably some coaches looked at, who's the teams that finished ranked in the top 25 last year? Okay, I'll make sure to have a lot of those teams in my ballot this year. And Tennessee didn't finish ranked despite going 7-6, so I think that's part of the reason why they were left off. But just, initial gut reaction, it was a little peculiar to see Tennessee 7 spots behind Kentucky. Not a shock to see them behind Kentucky, but 7 spots behind, I think it's too far. And then to see Ole Miss ranked in Tennessee, not knowing how much Ole Miss has to replace and how much is unknown there based on, you know, how these transfers pan out. Those were maybe the two surprises. But again, we'll see. But I think they'll be ranked in the AP poll.
Blake Topmeyer, SEC columnist for the USA Today Network. Follow him on Twitter at BTopmeyer. Blake, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Blake Topmeyer, one more time on the drive, talking Tennessee football, SEC football, Big Ten football. A lot of ground to cover there. We'll unpack it when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Marcus cruising along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Blake Topmeyer of your News Sentinel. Baird, what did you learn?
The one thing that jumped out at me, and I don't know if a lot of SEC fans have really wrapped their brain around this, but there is a significant downside to losing that 3:30 CBS game.
We missed the music?
It's not about the music. When you're on when you're in the CBS 3:30 game, that is great music.
It is good.
But you're beaming your marquee game. That's the game of the week. Everybody in America watches that.
Yeah, but what about the other part of this conversation is that the younger generation, increasingly, everything is streaming, right?
Yeah.
You see, the cable numbers have been plummeting for years now.
I don't know why.
Marcus, you're 26. Do you watch regular TV or cable? Is that a part of your life at all right now?
First, I'm 28. Close.
So I was getting ready to say, didn't we talk about this yesterday? Go ahead.
Yeah, because you called me. You didn't know if I was 21.
You just have this boyish charm about you. I figured you're a little younger.
So regular TV, unless it's for sports, no. Honestly, I mainly watch streaming services and
me too. And I have cable. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to have it, but I find myself because I watched Better Call Saul last night,
right,
which I DVR'd. And that's the only thing I have cable for is sports. And I don't watch it at all during the summer. Like, I've just been wasting that money for months now. And even when I do watch sports, I find myself, you know, I've got the cable box downstairs in the man cave and the other TV, it's all streaming. And I still find myself just streaming stuff on ESPN Plus that I could be watching And maybe one of these days I'll wise up and stop squandering that money. But I think the – and here's another thing that hit me. Little minor detail here. But the whole we'll join your game, we're going to push your kickoff back because your game is supposed to start at 7, right?
Right.
But the previous game started at 4. And you're tuning in at 7 to watch the Vols play Alabama or whoever. And Colorado and Michigan State still have 6 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah. And they're both like 2-5.
And so first they push back the kickoff 7 minutes as if that's going to do anything. Then they say, all right, well, it's going to be starting on ESPN News and streaming. Once we get to all streaming, which is going to happen the next 10 years or so, right?
Probably.
Once we get to that, like, that doesn't matter, right? You just start your – you just go to your streaming service and you find your game and you watch it.
Right.
So that'll be
– I just don't like the lag. That's the only thing I hate about it. It's the lag in time.
So. But that's only for – because you're on social media.
Yeah.
I mean – it's coming. We'll all be on separate lags, and
yeah, I know.
You just gotta.
Remember
when we used to just watch the game?
Yes.
Now the game is on, and you're watching your phone as much as you're watching the game. I am anyway.
That's another thing. I told you I watched that second documentary about it. That's the other thing I noticed about Woodstock is like there's no phones. You're not looking at a sea of people filming instead of just watching and listening.
Dangerously close.
Oh, you're getting close, aren't we? Let's go to the phones and knock out some of these phone calls before we end up on the porch with a nice cold glass of lemonade. It's hot outside, man. It would be nice to get up on the porch. I'm just saying.
Reserve the right to go to the porch later.
Phil is up first today on the drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
What are you saying, David?
What's up, Philly?
How you bearing, Marcus, doing?
Doing pretty well. Hope you are, too, man.
Willie got cut off yesterday. I was wanting to know how come he got cut off then in the last show. I hadn't heard him so long. I was having Willie withdrawals, and y'all...
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Why do you think he got cut off?
Well, he probably was a typical Willie, I guess.
I mean, this isn't numb. There are rules, Phil. You can't be cursing on terrestrial radio.
Huh.
At 5:30 in the heart of drive time.
Yeah. You know how Willie is. Football season, we ain't lost a game yet, you know?
I haven't even lost a game yet. And
hell, this is like our second day in pads.
First scrimmage.
This is before the scrimmage. This was yesterday. Been in pads for 2 days. Willie's frothing.
So Dylan Sampson's the surprise of the offense is what you're saying?
No, I think what Heupel said, correct me if I'm wrong, Russell, I'm paraphrasing, but that he's been a nice surprise so far in fall camp.
That's just a real nice surprise.
Basically?
I don't know. I think that a lot of people thought Justin Williams-Thomas was going to be this huge impact player, and he might. Like I don't think we should be closing the door on that at all. But I think most people thought that Sampson was kind of a throw-in, developmental guy that hangs around, maybe a core special teams guy. And it's kind of sounding like he's taking advantage of this opportunity with Jalen Wright being out. Lenith Whitehead is gone, or at least out for the season.
Yeah.
And Lynn J. Dixon is got a ways to go to catch up on the playbook and everything. It sounds like he's kind of hit the ground running and put himself in position to – play a role for Tennessee this year.
Well, you never have enough running backs. We saw that last year.
I'll tell you what else about I like about Sampson. Sampson. Go check out the Instagram, the footage of his touchdown today. Number 24 has been a good number for running backs for Tennessee.
Tony Thompson comes to mind immediately.
Aaron Hayden.
Yeah.
And Sean Bryson.
That's...
There's three good ones right there.
Yeah, three of the best.
A lot to live up to.
Yeah, good number, isn't it?
That is a sneaky solid number at Tennessee.
2-4.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15's a good number.
Yep.
44 used to be a real good number at Tennessee. There's some great players that wore that number.
I think the freshman Herring, Elijah Herring, I think that's his number, and he looks good. Who are some of your favorite 44s, Phil?
Bobby Majors is the first one that comes to mind.
Okay.
Bobby Majors is one of the most underrated players that's ever played over there. He wasn't no NFL player, but for a college player, he was phenomenal.
44 is a defensive back?
Yeah.
It's an odd number for a DB, isn't it?
It's the old days.
Well, back in then, they had different type of numbering and stuff. I mean, they used to have some running backs around 44, and then you got linebackers wearing 44 now. I mean,
I guess, wasn't Ronnie Lott 42?
He was.
Yeah.
You don't see many 40s for DBs anymore.
I guess a lot of people back in the day had their number, and they just kept it. If they had a number in high school and wanted their number to come here, they brought it with them, I guess. But now, you figure now, it's me now. There'd be more of that going on now.
Who's the guy, was it Bryce Hunter, who wanted to go to Florida State, but they wouldn't let him wear number one. He had to be number one, so he went to Georgia. Just because of the number, the jersey number.
Yeah. That's how recruiting goes, huh? I'm just thinking that Tennessee's not doing too good in getting guards right now. Do you think if they get in a bind that they just offer Vescovi a NIL deal and he's got a COVID year, he could stay in there a year?
I thought about that too, Phil. You know, I wonder if he has the thing where – kind of like Eve Pons, where he just wants to go ahead and start getting paid, you know, to play basketball. He's a man of the world. I'm sure he could go find, a place. So I don't think he's an NBA guy, but I think he could probably play at a lot of places professionally and make a little bit of money. But I'm with you. I smell what you're cooking, Phil. I'd love to have him for an extra year.
And look what Kentucky did to that guy. It's their center. That guy at center is never going to be on the NBA roster, but he's a great college player.
Are you worried about guard recruiting?
Not really, but I'm just saying.
We get Freddie Buckets?
Have we got him committed yet?
No.
He just visited Alabama.
What about – yeah, I saw that. That does worry you a little bit. What about Estrella? You feel good about that one, Phil?
I'm beginning to feel a little bit better about it because he made those two visits last week to Iowa and Syracuse, and he didn't commit. And I seen where Eric Bosse projected him to go to Tennessee.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the most renowned recruiting experts out there. So,
what was the deal? Duke was starting to sniff around him, weren't they?
Well, you know how Duke is. They want to come in at the last minute, and they didn't recruit him all along, and then they were continuing pursuing players at that kid's position, and they just said bye to Duke.
You guys think that's going to work without Krzyzewski? Rat boy?
Well, said Coach K.
It's going to depend if his guy can coach a lick, because he's took over a better situation than Duke than Krzyzewski inherited.
I think he'll probably be pretty good, John Shire.
I don't think he's going to get the referees that Duke got with
Well, bless their hearts, they might have to play by the rules like everyone else, Phil.
How come you're ripping Jake the Snake on his basketball knowledge?
I'm not. I was ripping the 3-and-out guys.
No. Not saying they're not smart on basketball?
They're dumber than a bag of hammers.
You said it, I didn't.
I mean, not to be, was that too much? A little hard? A little strong? To end hour one?
No, not at all.
3-and-out cheap shot. What did they say about basketball?
So it was Billy Stats apparently was just mentioning the fact that.
Oh, yeah. Billy Stats thinks we should just be playing a foreign overseas trip every year.
He's talking completely out his rear end.
He's already mad at Barnes because Bruce Pearl's playing against Israel yesterday and we're going to the water park. I mean, you talk about a hot take.
Barnes bashers.
Stay with us. Hour number two coming up.